Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Get ready for an All Legends Hour. First up, the classic Nickelodeon game show Legends of the Hidden Temple becomes a Nick movie Thanksgiving weekend. Executive producer Mike Garcia and that host of the Hidden Most, Kirk Frog, join me next in an internet radio exclusive. Second up, DC's Legends of Tomorrow, now on Thursday night on the CW. What makes the look of these legendary heroes go? We'll learn from director of photography Malon Williams later this hour. Also ahead, Kevin Hart remains citified. One last round of Liars, the pretty little kind. The answer to this week's classic trivia question of the week, and some final thoughts on Gwen Ifill. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Happy Friday afternoon to you and all, and welcome to a terrific Legends-oriented edition of the program All About Television. Great to have you with us. 64 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, your voice and your phone number. Actually, this phone number, 646-652-2906. 646-652-2906. That's the number you use if you have a question or a comment for any of our guests. And if you're not big on the phone, you can use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Guess 1129 and 1242 already in the room. And by the way, the phone number I just gave you, that is good anyway. You are hearing us across the country, around the globe, here on VTR. And remember, while the phone is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Our first guest will be with us live from Los Angeles after a round of News Note Quickies. Comedy Central will bring back Kevin Hart's Heart of the City for season 2 next year. Pretty Little Liars will open its final freeform season April 18th, that's in 2017, and that episode will be followed by the debut of Liars Greater Raleigh King's next series, Famous in Love, starring Bella Thorne. AT&T will launch DirecTV Now November 28th with a major press conference and party here in New York. The new 8-part Mariah Carey's World with superstar Mariah Carey will get an opening simulcast and E! And Bravo on December 4th. And tonight's installment of Washington Week on PBS will focus on host Gwen Ifill, who passed away Monday morning. We'll honor Gwen near the bottom of the hour. And that is News Notes for today. In 1986, Nickelodeon began one of the most incredible runs any network ever had, a run of hit game shows. It started with Double Dare. It continued with Finders Keepers and Make the Grade and Think Fast, Guts and a sequel, Global Guts, Get the Picture, and many, many more. One of the most ambitious and one of the most popular was Legends of the Hidden Temple from Stone Family Entertainment. It ran several years on Nick with 120 episodes where teams of kids got together to find the legends in a hidden temple. And if they did, they won some great prizes. Along the way, they had to deal with some temple guards, a voice named Olmec, and some steps of knowledge. And now, almost 30 years after Nickelodeon started Double Dare, and almost around 25 years since Legends of the Hidden Temple first premiered on Nickelodeon, there is now a movie, a 90-minute film, based on that game show. Very rare for a game show. And it premieres on Nickelodeon next Thanksgiving weekend, that is Saturday, November 26th at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Joining us live at AR Radio Exclusive is the executive producer and the head of Nickelodeon's movie unit, Mike Samachia. Mike, great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Simon. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I should say it's Samachia, so I want to make sure we get that right. And also joining both of us is the original host of Legends of the Hidden Temple, Kirk Frog. Hi, Kirk. Great to be happy with us.
Hey, Simon. Thanks for having me on your show.
You're very welcome. Kirk, game shows are usually not the kind of material that made-for-TV movies get made from. In the back of your mind, though, do you ever hope that in the years since you did the show that Legends might become a movie?
That was the last thing I thought of. I thought they'd bring back the show. The show was so great that I thought, oh, for sure they'd probably want to bring this show back when people wanted to re-see all the old game shows. And it certainly was called for a lot online. A lot of people wanted that show back. So when I heard it was a movie, I was completely thrown.
Mike, how long was the call to make Legends into a movie? Did you think of actually bringing, or the next people actually think of bringing it back as a game show first? Or how did the talk turn to be, having this become a 90-minute film?
Well, it's interesting because as a game show, as you described at the beginning, Simon, is this show actually has the makings of a movie inside of it. So obviously with every movie, you have to start with a story and some characters. And unlike most game shows, Legends has all of those elements kind of at play from the get-go. So for us, it was about analyzing the raw material of it and the DNA, and then realizing you can launch from what's already there to sort of develop the narrative. So, and I don't believe a game show's ever seen such an adaptation before, but that's what was great about it.
And Kurt, what was great about Legends, and I watched it religiously along with the other Nick game shows at the time, was that every episode had a specific legend. You had specific teams of people, four teams of kids, then two, then one, of course, going into, actually went from six to four to two to one to get
right.
to that temple. How long did it take to put episodes together? I'm curious how everyone came up with those legends. They were so fanciful and so unique.
Well, you know, you have to credit the writing crew for Stone Stanley. They did a great job, and I mean, they were kind of doing it on the fly too, because they hadn't really done a pilot for the show, and then Nickelodeon called them and said, "We want to order your show," and like typical Hollywood, they're like, "Oh yeah, we're ready, let's do it," and so they had to figure out how to put it on its feet. So that first episode that we ever did took us 18 hours.
And then ultimately, you finally got the rhythm going.
We did. We finally got the room going.
The rhythm of the show, the pace.
Oh yeah, we got the rhythm. I mean, it just took a long time. I mean, there was so many huge elements to the show. I mean, with the moat crossing, you know, we had never seen a huge group of kids crossing over a moat, so we had to get that solved. We had the whole questions and answer, which was probably the easiest part. And then the temple games, which was another huge undertaking, trying to get these ginormous sort of challenges up and running and make them relevant and make them, you know, relevant to the legend and actually workable and fun for the audience. And then, of course, you go to the temple, and they had this giant – and, I mean, when you walked out there, when I showed up on that set, not unlike when I walked out to the movie set – I was completely blown away how large the set was, and you had to get all those doors working and all those actuators working. So that's why it took us 18 hours, and it didn't seem like 18 hours. It might have only seemed like 17.
And Kirk, that whole last part where the kids are in the temple and they've got those 3 minutes to get the legend and then get out of there for the grand prize. Some of those situations were very thrilling, and nobody had ever seen anything like this. There's been something like this before with Finders Keepers going through room to room, but never something like this where you had to go through all those different mazes and doors, the temple guards, then the opportunity for the second child to get in. It was a really amazing process.
Yeah, it really was kind of, in some weird way, it was a little life and death, especially when you threw the temple guards in there and you never knew when they were going to pop out. So it was a little bit of a haunted, you know, a haunted castle sort of thing. So that sort of upped the stakes. And people said, did they get really scared? I said, well, imagine yourself going through your own house, trying to get out the door, and you're looking for your keys, and you have 3 minutes, and then all of a sudden some psychotic Mayan temple guard jumps out at you at the last second. So that made for pretty good drama. So a lot of kids broke down and cried, cried actually, when they got caught.
I have to say, as it relates to the movie, we targeted that too. One thing we heard from all the fans was that show, Legends of the Hidden Temple, when I was a kid, was so scary. Those temple guards were freaking me out. And then when we heard that enough times, we thought, okay, at the very least, the movie has to be sure to not go soft on the temple guard aspect of this adventure. So in the movie are these temple guards who actually invoke fear in the heroes constantly. They never get soft. They never become buffoons, which is usually kind of the way things roll in a kid's space. The villain will oftentimes become comedic. And in this, we kept it straight, we kept it real, and as Kirk said, the stakes could never have been greater.
Yeah. And you know what's so great about...
Go ahead.
No, what I said, you know, what's so great about the show, and you know, and now that we've been able to revisit it so long now for like of course the last 8 or 9 months, but the fact that what I loved about the characters in the show, the kids in the show, is that they were not typecast kids. Every kid comes up to me, and or even adults that watch the show religiously, they always said one thing. I always imagine myself going through that, which I know we would, but I always tell them, I said, and you probably would have won, and you probably had a chance to win. It was never really, it wasn't, what was great about the show is that it didn't have to be strong kids trying to make it through. It had to be such a weird combination of brains and brawn to get through it. So you couldn't have two totally strong kids. They'd actually have to have their wits about them. And so it was a nice little balance in there. And I often would actually try to think who I thought was going to win the episode. And I was probably most of the time never right.
Legend of the Hidden Temple, the movie based on the classic game show, premieres on Nickelodeon Saturday night, November 26th at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Sorry, 8 p.m., excuse me, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. We've got the executive producer of the film. He's also head of Nickelodeon's movie unit, and that is Mike Savicicio, and the host of Legend, Kirk Fogg. The vote lives live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum coming away from the other end of the country, New York in particular. Happy to have you with us this Friday afternoon. You have a question or comment for both of our guests, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Guest 1258 just joined us, along with guest 1242. Coming up next week, Thanksgiving week, we got a great treat for you. 3 episodes of our program, back-to-back-to-back, triple header, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. 60-minute show on Monday, 90 minutes both Tuesday and Wednesday. And we're going to kick it all off on Monday with the creator of MacGyver, Lee Zoltov. MacGyver, one of the big fall season hits on broadcast television, CBS specifically. It's on tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And we'll get Lee's feelings about that. And a project he worked with a couple of years ago that we had him on this program about called The Next MacGyver. Where does that stand? And then one of the top morning radio people in L.A. will join us for the very first time from KABC Radio, Doug McIntyre. He's got a lot to say about the world of TV. And we'll hear it on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Mike, how long did it take to put the script together, and given the fact that there are so many elements of the original game that I'm sure fans wanted to get in, you know, Kirk, Olmec, the kids, the moat, the temple guard, the pendant, et cetera, how long did it take until you had a script that said, okay, we think we've got something here that everybody will enjoy?
Well, you just nailed it. We basically did what you just did. We crafted a list of things we knew had to be in the movie. And if we didn't put those elements in, the fans would be disappointed. So probably over the course of 1 year, we worked on the screenplay, a few drafts, and made sure that it sort of checked those boxes while at the same time was a compelling movie for kids today. Because that's important with this movie. We knew that we had to satisfy fans and give them the things they'd want to see in a Legends movie. But at the same time, Nickelodeon is providing entertainment for primarily that 6 to 11 demo of kids, boys and girls. So we knew that we had to develop a movie that satisfied that group of people too. So yeah, it was a matter of just going through the checklist, and one of the great moments for me was when I presented the screenplay to Kirk Fogg and when I actually shared the script with Scott Stone, the co-creator of the game show. And the two of these guys came right back and said, you covered so much of this. I didn't really miss anything. So we knew we were in good hands at that point, that the blueprint before we even went to production was a strong one.
Mm-hmm. Kirk, at one point did you say, I like this script, I got to be part of it?
Well, when they, yeah, so when my agent sent the script, said that they were going to make a movie out of our game show, are you interested? And I did say, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, why wouldn't I be interested? But I did say, yeah, send me the script. So when they sent me the script, I read it, and I've said this before, I said the guy who wrote the script felt like a fan of the show. So I said they were hitting a lot of those iconic things that you see in the game show, and they put it into the screen, and they didn't, you know, I was afraid they were, I was just, my only fear was I hope they're not making a $25,000 version of the game show, and they didn't. And when I especially was confirmed, because you never know until you go up on the set, and then I showed up and Mike brought me to the set and showed me what was going on, and I thought, wow, I said, they are going for it in this movie. So, you know, as much as I, like I said, how I felt when I first saw the set back in the 80s or the 90s, I ended up feeling the same way when I saw this set. And I said, wow, they're really going for it. The crew and the cast and the producers were all super excited. They were so glad to see me up there, and I knew that we were really going to do something special.
Mike, how did the plot go?
Essentially, it's the story of a family that goes to visit an amusement park that happens to sit on the ruins of an old temple. And while there, the
in
center
Mexico.
Of these in down in Mexico, and these three siblings are all different as siblings can be, and they've got some growth to go with themselves and their relationships. So the center, the middle child of the group, this kid named Noah, is a big fan of Legends of the Hidden Temple. He knows all the things you were listing, Simon. He knows all that. We're playing it as if this thing existed in this world, and he had all the facts down in his mind, and he's really disappointed when he arrives at this amusement park. It's not what he thought it would be, and even Kirk Fogg, who he encounters at this place, is going through the motions of a tour, but without the full passion of the real sort of legend, because it's buried beneath. And then, as you would expect to happen, they fall through the floor, and to their surprise, they discover that the legend is in fact real. Kirk Fogg was full of actual facts and knowledge that was true. And now these three siblings have to work to make their way through the various rooms to get out alive, while at the same time saving the civilization below.
Now, for everybody, in addition to Kirk being in the movie, there's also Olmec, who's the voice. The statue whose voice was played by the wonderful Dee Bradley Baker. Some people also may know Dee as the announcer on Shop Tia Drop with Pat Finn on Lifetime and PAX, who played some of the stunts. Pat Finn, the host, who is still around, by the way, he's a game show. He's a show producer now. Would always tell the audience to wear Dee. He would round with whoever the contestants were going to go if they had won the shopping challenge, the shoppers round. What was it like for both of you to have Dee back on set and back doing Olmec?
Well, for me personally, it was so awesome. I mean, Dee and I, we really hadn't talked in about 25 years. But what was another strange thing about this whole process has been, as soon as we saw each other, and Mike, you were there, you introduced us. You know, we saw each other again when we actually saw a rough cut of the movie. I hadn't seen Dee since I saw a rough cut of the movie, and it felt like not a day had passed. Of course,
I got to witness that reunion, and it was a real thrill, and it was also a thrill to have the voice of Olmec show up, because, you know, for the movie makers listening, you shoot something that will ultimately be a voice, but you shoot it with a temp placement of that voice. So the thrill really was to present the rough cut to Dee and now say, please give us actual Olmec, because before it was an imposter. And so when Dee's voice made its way into the actual cut of the movie, I felt the movie actually lift to another level, and knowing that the fans were going to go crazy at the sound of this guy's voice.
Well, he did an awesome job with it. I mean, he's unbelievable in this movie.
And it's amazing how when you think of Dee, particularly on some of the other things he did, like Shop to Drop, or some of the cartoon voices he did on animated series, his voice comes across usually high-pitched. It does usually have that like very full, you know, tempo monument sound that he did for Olmec for so long.
Yeah, but he really worked on it. He knew what it was. He talks about it, but he talked about how he was looking for that kind of voice, and he definitely worked it. He was living here. He was living in Orlando at the time, and when he got the job, it was really kind of, I think he said it was like really one of his first big jobs. So he really was trying to craft that voice as a real legitimate sort of Mayan god sort of voice, and, you know, he nailed it.
Mike, how did you pick the kids? The kids who take the part of the adventure.
Well, we have a wonderful casting department at Nickelodeon, and they see a lot of kids, obviously. And for us, we knew that we had to get three siblings that were not only great actors, but worked together really well. But as it as it happens with most of our Nickelodeon movies, at the center of them has to be a kid that that represents Nickelodeon and the audience watching. And in this case, we went to Isabella Moner, who had a hit show on Nickelodeon. So fans of the channel and of the brand knew who she was, so that she was a nice sort of centerpiece to begin with. And then we surrounded her with these two boys, Colin Critchley and Jet Juergensmeyer, and these kids were incredible. And together they made this wonderful sibling dynamic that you see throughout the movie and really satisfies by the end.
And you know what's so strange about that, Mike, is that, you know, I thought about this the other day, is that, you know, I always said that when I walked on the set, too, with these kids, it felt like the original kids from the show. But I said the age range was such a perfect cast, too, because it was exactly the range of kids that I would be working with during the show. A lot of times we'd have the 9-year-old groups, and then sometimes we'd have the 11-year-old groups, and then we'd end up having the 14-year-old group. So you kind of caught everybody who's going to watch the show or watch the movie is going to see themselves at that age when they were watching and fans of the show.
Yeah, I agree. That is great.
We are speaking with the executive producer and the head of Nickelodeon's movie unit, Mike Stanisicia, and the host of Legends of the Hidden Temple, Kirk Fogg. They're both involved in the new Legends of the Hidden Temple movie that premieres a week from Saturday night during Thanksgiving weekend on Nickelodeon. That's November 26th, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. And they're both with us for a few more minutes this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Appleman with you live from New York. Delighted you're aboard on this Legends-oriented hour of the program All About Television. If you have a question or comment for our guests, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find her on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And our very good friend, Rick Webb from Philly, is already in the room. Coming up on our special Tuesday edition, part of our Thanksgiving week triple header of shows, we got some wonderful people for you from the new Pop Network series, Nightcap, with Allie Wentworth as that late night show personality. We've got executive producer Brad Waller. Then we'll meet somebody new in the world of technology. She put together her own news insert series for television stations around the country. The project is called Tech Tango Today. We've got the founder and the host, Francie Black. We'll get her thoughts about where technology like smart TV sets and Ultra HD are happening. And finally, from the latest Hallmark Hall of Fame presentation, it'll be available on Thanksgiving weekend, called The Heavenly Christmas. We got the executive producers, Jack Brookhart and Linda Kent. That movie, the first Hallmark Hall of Fame episode originally for the Hallmark Channel, and the cast includes from Sex and the City, Kristen Davis, from Will and Grace, Eric McCormack, and the luminous Shirley MacLaine. Again, Heavenly Christmas. We're premiering over the Thanksgiving weekend. We've got the executive producers exclusive with us. That's all Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, part of our Thanksgiving week triple header of shows, all next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Kirk, what have you been up to of late, and what will you be doing after this movie? What's your next assignment?
Well, oddly enough, I got into I've still done quite a few commercials. I mean, that was kind of my main thing throughout my career. Stayed busy with that. But then I got into developing properties, and I build and flip houses.
Are you talking to Home and Garden Television or DIY, maybe by getting a show of your own? There's a lot of folks who love flipping.
I know. Well, we're trying to figure out how to do it with my Legends character. So, I already had to do the shorts and the jean shirt and all that. So we just got to figure out, Mike, how to put the legend into the legend of the disastrous property.
I sent the TV series out of that. Hey, script people, get in touch with Kirk.
I think everybody understands the world of escrow is a very confusing one, so I'd love you to guide us through that, Kirk.
Yes, that would be the first thing you'd have to go through. Crossing the moat would be crossing the escrow.
In a sense, Mike, this movie is also a celebration of what was an incredible streak of game shows for your network. When you think about that and all the shows that were part of that time, what do you hope people remember the most about not just Legends, but Double Dare and Make the Grade and Think Fast and all the other shows that were part of that era?
Well, I think Kirk touched on this, but the Nickelodeon audience watches these shows, whether they're game shows or live action series or even movies today, because they see themselves on the screen and there's a wish fulfillment and there's a desire to be living the life that they see in there, and I think that never gets old. So those game shows sort of put a light on that, and then at the same time, you can watch it with your family, with your siblings. So another reason I think we put siblings at the center of this movie, it's a co-viewing experience. And I think Nickelodeon has always cornered that world and it made it really palpable for the kid audience.
Mm-hmm. And Kurt, being part of that era, you know, many of the Nick hosts on game shows, Mark Summers on Double Dare, and Michael O'Malley, who did Get the Picture and Guts, who's now a very popular sitcom star on broadcast television. And he's doing Survivor's Remorse now on Stars. Did you have a chance, by the way, when you were at Nick Studios in Florida doing Legends, to meet people like Mark and Mike and some of the hosts? Was there a lot of camaraderie between the hosts at the time?
Yeah, I kind of wish there was, but unfortunately what would happen is that based on the schedules of shooting, they would usually be wrapped up and moved on, and then they were gone. And when we came in, we would be the show, you know. So the only time I really actually crossed paths with a host was with Mark Summers. So he and I crossed paths, probably because he was so busy all the time over there. So I don't know if he might have had an office set up over there, but I didn't really get to meet Michael O'Malley or Phil Moore or any of those guys until much later. And I actually followed Phil Moore around a little bit. I got to watch his, they took their Guts show on the road, and I would attend a couple of those shows when they would come to California.
And Phil did Nick Arcade, which in hindsight was a very revolutionary show in terms of using green screen to simulate video games for the kids. Mm-hmm. Really amazing show. And Phil was a lot of fun with his singing of that Arcade theme song using different words.
Right, and I've seen him. I've actually seen a lot of these people now recently, so it's really great to hook up with them again. And we're all sitting in one room, you know. That's where the Nickelodeon put it. We're all in one room, and then they're calling us out now to do stuff. It's like Big Brother. We're all Big Brother now. It's all, they should just put all the hosts in one house, and then they should just, you know. Put it.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you, Kirk. They should do it. By the way, I should point out that Mark Summers has his own production company. He still does Restaurant Impossible with Robert Irvine on Food Network. You also have seen him on as a judge on various competition shows on food. More recently, in fact, this past Sunday night, Guy's Grocery Games with Guy Fieri. So he's around, looks great, still doing wonderful things, and it's great to see also, and great to know that a lot of the Nick Game Show hosts are still out there in different ways, whether in TV or not, and doing well like yourself, Kirk. It's really, really terrific to know.
And we all like each other.
Yes, and they all like each other. That is so important. Legends of the Hidden Temple, the movie, premieres a week from Saturday, November 26th, 8 p.m. Eastern at Pacific Time. Check your locals for Nickelodeon's available in the area on cable and satellite. And if you want more details about the film and the network, there's a special part of Nick.com you can now go see with a lot of great stuff to it. It's www.nick.com/temple. It's www.nick.com/temple. And as all Matthew used to say, and he may say that, I'm sure, sometime in this movie, you will be handsomely rewarded. Mike Sabatinia, executive producer, and Kirk Fogg, the host of Legends of the Hidden Temple, thank you both very much for a wonderful time. We really appreciate it. Congratulations on making the movie and being part of it. And we're looking forward to a lot of people enjoying it next Saturday night. And by the way, very happy holiday season to both of you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you, Simon. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Simon. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Kirk. You're welcome, Mike. All the greatest to you and your families and everybody. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mike Sabatinia and Kurt Fong joining us live from Los Angeles. Once again, Legend of Temple, the movie, next Saturday night, November 26th, 8 p.m. Pacific time on Nickelodeon. In a moment, some thoughts for Gwen Ifill, but first, some words from the fine people at Audible.com, an Amazon company. If you don't want to increase your brain power, there's a new audiobook out there that might help you do that called The Great Brain Whole Life Plan. It's by David Perlmutter, and you can get it right now if you subscribe, 30-day free trial, to Audible.com. It's one of the reasons why Audible is a leader of spoken audio information and entertainment with over 180,000 titles to choose from. And the great news is you can catch them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. So remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you can get that free book, whether it is The Great Brain Whole Life Plan or something else among the 180,000 titles, 180,000 titles to choose from, and you listen at any time you like. Plus, the customer service is, of course, top of the line. So check out audibletrial.com/televised. You'll be very happy you did. And before we get to our next guest, we want to do something special in honor of Gwen Ifill. Earlier in our news notes section, we told you that Washington Week, the program on PBS Friday nights that Ifill hosted since 1999, will pay special homage to her and her career tonight. That program will be on PBS stations here on the East Coast at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and it'll be on other PBS stations later in the night or at 8 p.m. local time. Check local news by the PBS station area that will carry that tribute. Before we move further, I wanted to present my own tribute to Gwen. I had watched her career at NBC, then at PBS, including her work co-anchoring the NewsHour the last 3 years with Judy Woodruff. And when I learned of her passing on Monday, which we reported on during our show then, it reminded me of a piece of work from a video that I'd seen a few weeks earlier. It was from National Geographic Society's Further campaign, and it was introduced Monday night during their network presentation of Mars, their ambitious miniseries, whose executive producer was on this program earlier this week. And I thought that in reading this, this would epitomize what Gwen Ifill was all about. So here it is. It's the script from a video for Further. How far have we come? Our picture of the world is cleaner than we ever could have imagined, clearer than we ever could have imagined. How much further will we go? We've mapped nearly every surface of every continent on Earth, charted the depths of the oceans, and then we went further, to the moon, to Mars, across galaxies, to the furthest reaches of the universe, and further still, into the very building blocks of life, between atoms, to the other side of matter, past time and space, right up to the very edge of understanding. And we're still drawn forward by the lure of the unknown, the pull of possibility, the adventure. That and this is what drives us, to challenge, to protect, to inspire. This is our mission. We are scientists, pioneers, and explorers, and we are restless in the field or the lab. The objective is simple. Keep going. With every discovery, insight, and revelation, keep going. There's another story from another angle, a different take from a new perspective. Keep going. Past the fear, the doubt, beyond defeat. Through sleepless nights, lightless steps, breathless heights. One more step to the edge of impossible. Then further. This is our relentless pursuit, the drive, passion, and purpose of all of us, since we emerged from our caves and saw the stars. It is what brought us to this point and will bring us to points beyond. Cast what we know, always imagined, and then further. Gwen Ifill, that was for you and for all the great work you've done on this earth. Rest in peace. And our condolences to her family and her many, many friends, some of whom will be on the PBS special tonight. Once again, Washington Week special tribute to Gwen Ifill tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, and in many areas Pacific time on local public television stations across the country. When we come back, we'll be joined by Malhan Williams, the director of photography for DC's Legends of Tomorrow. He will join us live from L.A. after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the broadcast, Life from a Female Perspective. Live it with three wonderful women on the broadcast, Thursdays, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can catch the best of me to our 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of our all-Legends edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming away live from New York, where it is 65 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Simon Applebaum here with you live, and we're delighted to have you along for the ride with us. Great time with the people from Lens and then Temple. We are awaiting Malhan Williams. He is director of photography for DC's Legends of Tomorrow. It's on Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the CW. And in January, he'll be moving to Tuesday night on at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, right after The Flash. So, Malhan, I understand you may have been with us a moment ago, so if you're listening to us, get on the phone with us, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906, and we'll get you on the air ASAP. Once again, we have a triple header coming your way if tomorrow be televised on Thanksgiving week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we will be with you all 3 days at our normal hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Our Monday show will be a full hour, and our Tuesday and Wednesday shows will be 90 minutes in length. Coming up on Monday, we will have the creator of MacGyver, Lee Zoltov, and from KABC Los Angeles, one of the top radio personalities in that city and across the country, morning host and personality Doug McIntyre. Then coming up on Tuesday, our first of the two 90-minute editions, we will have Brad Wallace. He's the executive producer of the new pop comedy Nightcap, starring Ali Wentworth as somebody working the tools of late-night television. And from the latest Hallmark Hall of Fame presentation, the first exclusively presented on the Hallmark Channel coming up Thanksgiving weekend, it's called The Heavenly Christmas, we've got executive producers Jack Rosbart and Linda Kent. Heavenly Christmas, by the way, will be on, I believe, Thanksgiving either Saturday or Sunday night, and it's got a great cast from Sex and the City, Kirsten Davis, from Will and Grace and Eric McCormick, and one of the great all-time stars, the wonderful Shirley MacLaine. She's still out there alive and kicking, and this is her latest wonderful work. Heavenly Christmas will be one of the Countdown to Christmas programs, and we'll kick off the Hallmark Hall of Fame's exclusive run from now on the Hallmark Channel. And that's all coming up on next Tuesday's program. And then on next Wednesday, Nat Geo Wild has got a mini-series cooking, and it begins also on Thanksgiving weekend. It's called Savage Kingdom. We'll have the producer, Harry Marshall. Then, on that day, CMT premieres maybe the most unusual documentary and original program of all the Thanksgiving treats coming up that week. It's called, believe it or not, Chicken People. And you'll have to see it to believe it. And we've got the director of that show, Nicole Miles, will be with us. And finally, we've got the producer, the writer, and the director of the latest BYU-TV Thanksgiving special. It's a drama special. And it's called Winter Thaw. It's based on a story by Leo Tolstoy called Martin the Cobbler. You might say it's his take on A Christmas Carol. And it's got a fantastic actor in the lead role, John Rhys Davies. Again, we will have the producer, the writer, and the director of that program all with us next Wednesday. That's coming your way, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And we hope that you will join us. Again, we're waiting for Malon Williams, the director of photography on DC's Lens of Tomorrow, to join us. So Malon, give us the call, 646-652-2906, and we'll get you aboard. And by the way, that is the phone number you use if you have a question or comment for Malon, or you want to comment on our previous segment on Lens of the Hidden Temple, 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere, catch us across the country, or around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Our very good friend Rick Webb from Philadelphia is in the room already, along with guest 1242. You will find that chat room at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And that's where you can find our more recent episodes of this very program all about television, and you can enjoy them anytime you like, the rest of today or throughout the weekend. And speaking of that, we want to remind you that we are not only available 24/7 at our homepage, we're also 24/7 with our podcast edition, both at iTunes.com and at Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. So if you have the new version of Apple TV, it's been on around for about a year, you can get that app as part of the nearly 9,000 apps available to you, including Airbnb, Zillow, as well as lots of games, which make up about a quarter of the apps that are available, and new things like StubHub and ordering pizza directly from any Papa John's across the country. And if you don't have Apple TV 2.0, go to your local Apple store or order it online, and then you can get into our iTunes podcast app anytime you like. And we also want to let you know that I do a column regularly for Media Village. It's the popular website of media analysis and commentary with our good friend Jack Myers, Stuart Elliott, the former ad columnist, New York Times, many, many more wonderful folks, Ed Martin, the Planet Ed reviewer. And I just wrote a column that was just out today about a Chinese company called LeEco that is trying to penetrate the U.S. market, both with smart TV sets and smart TV content. So check it out, MediaVillage.com. It's MediaVillage.com, the Tomorrow Televised section, available 24/7. All right, we are going to try to get Malon Williams on the air, and before we do, let's get into our classic trivia question of the week. We're going to do this later in the half hour, but since we're waiting for him, let's do it now. Well, we had a terrific question for you, and unfortunately, nobody got it. So nobody wins. the I Was Saved by the Bell book that just came out this week by executive producer Peter Engel and Twin Peaks FAQ. The question was pretty simple. On Saved by the Bell, what was Screech's first name? The character played by Dustin Diamond. What was Screech's first name? The answer, Samuel. And incidentally, the last name he had was Powers. That's right. The full name of that character was Samuel Screech Powers. So, anyway, we didn't get a winner. We're going to try again on Monday. So, if you know the answer, when we post the question on Monday afternoon, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you are from, your full mailing address. And if you are first with the correct answer, you will win I Was Saved by the Bell and Twin Peaks FAQ. There's also a possibility that our guest that day, Lee Zoltoff, the creator of MacGyver, who has a new book out, may also, I hear from a birdie, may also offer a copy of that book as a classic trivia question prize. So we're sort of building a little jackpot here. So be with us on Monday for our question. And again, if you are first with the correct answer, you will win, I Was Saved by the Bell, Twin Peaks FAQ, and maybe the MacGyver book as well from its creator, Lee Zoltoff. Just was released a couple of weeks ago. And had a chance to take a look at it. It is marvelous. Also, you can tweet your answer using Twitter and this hashtag, TWBT. That's Twitter, hashtag TWBT. The Twitter option was made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch. The folks invite you to create your own social soundtrack. You can learn how at hopscotch.com. That's hopscotch.com. And we thank Marty Monaco and the fine crew over there for being part of our classic trivia question each week. So however you get involved, either email or Twitter using hashtag TWBT, if you're first to get the answer, you win. And if you can't catch our show on Monday, guess what? We will repeat the question in several ways. We'll have the question for you. If you don't get a winner by Tuesday afternoon, we'll put it on our show again. And we will also put it on Tuesday morning at our Facebook page and at my own Twitter hashtag place, and that is UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. And however you get involved, remember, you have to be involved to win. So be part of it. Win some nice prizes. And showcase your trivia smarts with our classic trivia question of the week. We appreciate it, and we thank you for it. All right, we're still waiting for Malon Williams, director of photography at DC's Legend of Mara, to come on the air. We're going to give you another couple of minutes, and then if we don't, we'll end the show early. So, Malon, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906, and that number is ready for you to use, and as soon as we see you on our screen, we'll put you on the air. And once again, I want to thank the wonderful people from Lenses of the Hidden Temple for joining us, the executive producer Mike Samasia, and also the host of Legends, Kurt Fogg. Really great to have him take the time out, and I've seen some clips from that film. It's going to be a lot of fun. And like I said, like OMAC says, you will be handsomely rewarded for catching it. Once again, that show is on next Saturday. That's not this Saturday, not tomorrow, next Saturday, on November 26th, 8 p.m. East Pacific time on Nickelodeon. And I have a hunch it's going to get a great, great crowd. By the way, also that week, they will have a Double Dare 30th anniversary special. That's right, 30 years since Double Dare got on the air and changed the whole course of kids, game shows, and the game show scene in general. And yes, Mark Stone's been part of it. Harvey as well, Robin too, the co-host, and a lot of other fun folks will be part of that Double Dare 30th anniversary special, and that is also on Thanksgiving week, various times on Nickelodeon. And I believe that after Legends in the Temple, it will be played as well, that Double Dare 30th anniversary special. So check that out. I'm sure it will be a great one. Really amazed that Nickelodeon had so many wonderful game shows over the course of a great span from 1986 until 2000. They had Finders Keepers with Grand Temple Seasons. There was also Make the Grade, Think Fast, Figure It Out, Global Guts, and its predecessor Guts. So many good shows, all well done, and all fondly remembered by Nickelodeon's crowd, which at that time were kids, and now they're teenagers, young adults, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe some of those shows will come back. I'd love to see Double Dare get another try. I'd love to see Legends get another try, too. Maybe maybe somebody will, and maybe Kirk might be part of it. You never, never know. All right, give Malon one more minute to get on the air, and if he doesn't, we will wrap things up for the day and the week. And Rick Webb, by the way, our friend from Philadelphia, is still in our chat room, so if you want to give a call, you're very welcome to use that number, 646-652-2906, and we'll get you up too. All righty. It is looking like Malon will not be, for whatever reason, able to join us. I'll tell you what we'll do. We will obviously get in touch with his publicist. We'll find out the source of the breakdown, and we'll have him on in an upcoming episode before the end of the month. But we do want to let you know that DC's Legends of Tomorrow, you can catch Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern at Pacific Time on the CW. And starting in January, it will move from Thursday nights to Tuesday nights, where we'll be paired up with The Flash. Flash will be on 8 o'clock. Legends will be on at 9. Check your local listings for where the CW appears in your area on broadcast stations around the country. And if you want to know more about the program and the network, here's where you go online, www.cwtv.com. It's www.cwtv.com. Malon Williams, the director of photography for Legends of Tomorrow, which is in its second season and doing quite well, too. And I think when it goes in January to pair it up with The Flash, from 8 to 10 o'clock. That will be one great combination. And, of course, Legends of Tomorrow is based on DC comic characters and, like The Flash, is produced by Warner Brothers. Once again, we will be back with you for three great episodes of Tomorrow Be Televised on Thanksgiving week. That's next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all at our regular hour, 3 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. 60 minutes the first day, 90 minutes the other two segments. Coming up on Monday, the creator of MacGyver, whose reboot is doing very well on CBS. It's on tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time. We're talking about Lee Zoltov. And from morning radio in Los Angeles, KABC's Doug McIntyre. That's all coming up Monday. A wonderful hour in store for you, kicking off our Thanksgiving week trio of episodes Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you just tuned in to today's program and you want to catch up on that or other episodes that you may have missed in the last few weeks and months, go to our homepage anytime. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, over the weekend, check out our podcast edition. It's available 24/7 at iTunes.com. And if you have Apple TV 2.0, you can watch and see it at the iTunes podcast app. Not only our show, but other Blog Talk Radio programs as well. We love hearing from you. What do you think about our program today? And what's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going? We always love to hear. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's how you get our Class Trivia Question of the Week. And we also have a feature that our email comes from, and that's our show to know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? Well, if you let us know, and we highlight it in that feature on this program, you will get the credit for it. We promise you that. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Also, you can find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. However you communicate, it is always appreciated. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Televised was brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. For Tomorrow We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your week and a fantastic pre-Thanksgiving weekend. Make it a super one. We'll be back at the beginning of Thanksgiving week, Monday, at a regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio. Stand by for a wonderful triple header of episodes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, to get your Thanksgiving off to a marvelous start. This weekend, be sure to be safe and be great out there. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.